morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 15, 10 to 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre in Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment.
Please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Open us to your life-giving word. Quiet the voices within us that do not align with your will. Focus our minds on the message you intend for us, so we may faithfully discern your way. Amen. So while meditating on this passage, the word purity kept coming to me. And our country and our culture has been obsessed with purity. Since the mid 90s, it was basically like when I was in middle and high school is when I sort of came to know it as, purity culture. And that was synonymous with sexual purity. But throughout our country's history, we've been concerned with all different types of purity: gender purity, national purity, racial purity. And I've seen people make the case that these categories are a means towards maintaining biblical purity, and that God demands that we separate ourselves from contamination and corruption. And I can see that some of the benefits in staying away from things that defile us and make us dirty. But I don't think that the ways in which we have put it into practice are quite what God meant. Like, ritual purity was very important throughout the Old Testament. The point is that God is holy and pure and powerful, and we are not. And so in the Old Testament, the thought was that in order to approach God, you had to be pure pure as possible, especially if you're going to approach God at the temple. And God gives a lot of guidance about what this purity means, especially in Leviticus. There's a lot of rules about what makes somebody impure, and then, but also like how to remedy that situation so that you can worship properly. And right before this passage, the thing that we're not getting is that the Pharisees were upset with Jesus. I know, big surprise. But the Pharisees were upset with Jesus because Jesus didn't make the disciples wash their hands before eating. Fair point from a germ theory perspective. But the Pharisees were concerned about it from an aspect of ritual purity. And here is where we get Jesus's response to that. He's saying, yeah, those ritual purity laws and those traditions, like those are important. I'm not saying that we should get rid of them. Those are good things. But following the law won't purify you if your heart isn't in it. He's saying that the spirit of the law is much more important, especially if following the letter of the law actually causes harm. God is much more concerned about the purity of our hearts. And that's why Jesus says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, it's what comes out. Many of the laws in Leviticus that the Pharisees were really careful to observe were about food. No pork, no shellfish, no cheeseburgers. Wash your hands before you eat so that you don't accidentally ingest anything impure that you might have come in contact with. Needless to say, the Pharisees were more than just a little bit ticked off with what Jesus had to say. And I actually get it. I get it. It can't be easy to keep track of 613 laws every minute of every day. These were people who worked very hard to maintain their ritual purity. And Jesus comes by and accuses them of just paying lip service. Maybe Jesus is even implying that the only reason that they're doing these things is to look good and to feel superior to other people. I think in some ways that we and Jesus are a little too hard on the Pharisees and the scribes. They were doing the best they could with the information that they had. They were doing what they knew. They were following these traditions that were handed down to them for thousands of years. And then this 30-year-old unemployed homeless kid, the son of a carpenter who has the dregs of society following him all over the place, he says he knows better than them? I hear some of the Pharisees' arguments about tradition in the church today. But this is the way that we have always done it. Why does it matter if some people are offended? This is who we are. And yeah, tradition has its place. But faithful discipleship isn't about, it's not about how many perfect attendance badges that you have or how many times that you've read the Bible cover to cover. Those things are especially not important if you're neglecting to live out hospitality and love of Christ. And so that's what Jesus means when he says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of it. Jesus, God, is more concerned with what comes from our hearts, our words, our attitudes, our actions. He's more concerned with those things that can defile and hurt the people and the world around us. Those aren't the kind of choices that can be washed down the drain and into the sewer the way that yesterday's lunch can. Suddenly, the scene changes. Jesus is on the move again, and he has the opportunity to enact the lesson that he has just shared. He goes out towards Tyre and Sidon. This is Gentile territory. And this woman comes out just hollering, screaming, yelling for Jesus to heal her child, anything to get his attention. And I know several of you have or have had children with serious illnesses. I'm sure you can imagine this woman's distress. You would do anything for your child. You'd cross any boundary. You'd see any doctor, pay any amount. You would shout and clamor, beg and bargain. This woman is desperate to have her child healed. And Jesus ignores her, pretends he doesn't hear her, doesn't even look in her direction. He ignores her to the point that the disciples get annoyed. And they ask Jesus, can you just tell her to go away? And this seems very uncharacteristic of Jesus. Jesus is always healing people, even people who didn't ask him to heal them. Well, this is a Gentile woman. Not just any Gentile woman, but a Canaanite woman. And Canaanites, worst of the worst. These ancient idol-worshipping enemies, you know, they were the ones that had to be driven out so that the Israelites could take possession of the promised land. And the cherry on top is that this is a woman, and women are supposed to be invisible. They don't approach men unless they're a prostitute. Finally, Jesus answers her. And he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's laying out the parameters of his mission. Jesus is only there to purify Israel, Israelites. He has his orders and he's following God's law. He's following the mission that God told him to follow. This woman is tainted. She's defiled, she's too impure, and she's beyond hope because of the circumstances of her birth. And yet the woman persists. She kneels before him, begging, Lord, help me, heal my child. And then Jesus says, what I have found to be one of the most disappointing and disturbing and heartbreaking things that I have found in the Bible. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. I know it doesn't sound nice, but surely you're thinking that I've heard worse insults before. I mean, dogs, right? I personally love dogs. I know many of you love dogs. But in this time and place, dogs were not household pets. They were considered dirty, impure, defiling. At best, dogs were tolerated, but mostly ignored. Because when you don't have enough to feed your children, you're not about to toss some scraps to Scruffy. But the Greek word that we've translated to dog, kinarion, is an ethnic slur. And we know this because it was used in other writings of the time by Euripides, Aristotle, others. It's akin to calling her the N-word. And there are a lot of apologists out there, some of my colleagues even, that say that Jesus didn't mean it in this way. Jesus was testing her faith. Or that even the Canaanite woman was in on the joke that Jesus was trying to serve as an example for the disciples. And I get wanting to explain it away. Those aren't the words or actions that we expect from the Prince of Peace. The divine who we read about time and again welcoming sinners and tax collectors, touching lepers and associating with people that most others wouldn't even glance at. What I think is happening here is Matthew is letting us see the full humanity, the full personhood of Jesus. A person of his time who, like us, let his personal prejudices rule his response. But thankfully, another human attribute that Jesus has is the ability to learn and to grow and to change. When the Canaanite woman spoke back, saying that even the dogs get crumbs that fall from the table, she's defending herself. Seeing her grab a hold of the grace and blessing and healing that she knows she deserves, Jesus changed his mind. The fully human Jesus demonstrates personal integrity and a willingness to expand his worldview by learning from someone who was beneath him. So Jesus heals the woman's daughter. And to top it off, he doesn't even insist that she or her family convert to Judaism to receive that healing. He recognized that she's not more distant from God because of her ethnicity or her gender. The only thing that matters here is her faith. The gates of salvation are opened at this point to those outside of the house of Israel. the gates of salvation are opened to you and to me because this woman had so much faith that she stood up to Jesus. Jesus could have continued to dismiss this angry woman, but he listened to her and found that she was full of faith. A faith that he didn't find among his hometown folks or the ritually pure religious leaders or even the disciples. The faith of this Gentile, Canaanite woman brings out Jesus' compassion and humility. And as a result of that, Jesus invites everyone to be a part of the culture of purity and his salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen.